He's just a good guy to be around, refreshing guy to be around, and we have a good time together. Of course, we always get to talk football and sports, which we love to do, but more importantly, we get to talk about the situation of the world, the need of the lost out there, and getting the gospel to them, and that's what's most important. And, of course, my family couldn't be with me for this conference, but their prayers are with you, and we appreciate the support of this church. For many years now, this church has supported us in the work that God's allowed us to do in communist China. And, you know, that's a hard field. It's hard to go to a place where you have to be secretive about everything you do. You're constantly being watched. You're constantly being monitored. You have to train your nationals, the ones that do accept Christ. You have to train them to be secretive. You have to train them how to, in what we like to call black ops missions, to be able to go into these closed countries and be able to reach their own people secretly. And that's a difficult thing to do. Many Chinese Christians have lost their lives getting the gospel to their own people. Many of our Christians now, Chinese Christians, are even trying to go into more difficult places such as North Korea to get the gospel to them. And they need your prayers. We hope you'll stop by our table out there. Please, if you have not already, pick up one of our prayer cards and spend some time in prayer for our family, for China, and for the world, that the gospel will find a footing in these places. If you would, please turn your Bible to the book of Jonah. That's where we're going to be this morning, the book of Jonah. That's in the Old Testament. Again, I want to thank Pastor for letting us stay in the nice hotel we've been able to be in this week, and for the meals that we've had, and I enjoyed the international dinner last night. It was a lot of fun, a lot of good food, and enjoyed the fellowship as well. I've enjoyed getting to be able to meet Brother Rupel and hear about his ministry there in Cambodia, and I know we're looking forward to his message this evening as well. Today's a very important day. It's a day when Bible Baptist Church is a member of the body of Christ, as you decide what you're going to do for world missions and what you're going to do for the cause of Christ around the world. And it's a very, very important time, a time to take serious and not a time to look at lightly and think this is just another day, another day in the life of Bible Baptist Church. No, it's not. It's a very, if not the most important time as you look at what you're going to do for the cause of Christ. And to focus on this, I'd like for us to take some time to look at the book of Jonah and see what God can show us about missions from the book of Jonah. If you would, turn to Jonah chapter number 1, verse number 1. Now, I've pretty much got the book of Jonah memorized, so I'm going to quote it this morning verbatim. I want you to follow along in your book there as I, from memory, quote the book of Jonah. The Bible says in Jonah chapter number 1, verse 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, their wickedness, for their wickedness is come up before me. And Jonah sold everything that he had, and he went and he purchased passage on a ship. And he sailed to the great city of Nineveh. And on the way," verse number 4, "on the way, he witnessed to the mariners that were on that ship with him. And as they sailed many days to the great city of Nineveh," verse number 5, "Jonah witnessed over and over again until those mariners took their false gods and cast them overboard. And as they approached," in verse number 6, "the great city of Nineveh," the beachhead there, "there was a great wave that kept the ship from approaching the beachhead. So Jonah dove into the water and swam," in verse number 7, "with all of his might to get to the beach of Nineveh. And as he reached the shore, he ran as fast as he could," in verse number 8. "And there the jolly green giant approached him. And Jonah threw his sword and slew the jolly green giant as he ran into the city of Nineveh," verse number 10. "And he went into the city of Nineveh crying, giving the message that God had given him to give to the king of Nineveh. And Nineveh repented," verse number 12, "of their ways and turned to the Almighty God." Is that not what your Bible says this morning? Is that not what it reads this morning? Verse number 3 has two very tragic words in it at the beginning. What are those two tragic words? But Jonah. Here you have Jonah. He hears the words of God saying, I've got a people that I want you to go to. And I want you to go to those people and I want you to cry unto them. I've got a message that I want you to deliver unto that people. But Jonah. Man, it's amazing how lost you can get between two words. But Jonah. I want, very shortly, in the short time we have this morning, I want us to look at missions according to the book of Jonah. Missions according to the book of Jonah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you and we praise you. And Father, we thank you so much, Father, for your mercy and grace to us in spite of us. I thank you so much for the freedom that we have this morning, that we can come. We don't have to worry about government oppression in this building this morning. We don't have to worry about being secretive. We don't have to worry about how loud we sing. We don't have to worry about how loud we preach, what we preach, Father. Right now, as we are today, Father, we have the freedom to sing your praises, to preach your word. And Father, we're so thankful for that, that we have that in this country. And Father, and I pray that, Father, the hearts and minds of those this morning are prepared to receive thy word. And I pray that you would be with me, Father, and set a watch at the door of my lips, Father, that I'd not preach anything contrary to thy word. And I ask these things in thy holy precious name. Amen. And Jonah, as we look at the book of Jonah and we look at his life, we see that Jonah, given the direct word of God, how many times have you heard someone say, you know, if I could just hear God, if I could just hear God, if God would just, if there really is a God, if there's a true God, if He could just speak to me in an audible voice, if I could hear that, then I would believe that there is a God. If I could just hear God, I'd go to the mission field. If I could just hear God, you know, and on and on and on it goes. But Jonah here, he heard the audible word. Jonah wasn't opening a book and looking through the pages and, no, he heard the word of God. God's voice in his ears speaking, go to Nineveh. Not only where to go, what to do when you get there. Cry against them. He not only received the orders of where he was to go, but what he was to do when he got there. But yet, Jonah decided to go his own way. He decided to do his own thing. You know, as we see, as Jonah made that decision in verse number 3, but Jonah rose up and to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You know, when you flee from God, when you run from God, things get bad real quick. Things get bad. And it got bad for Jonah. So much so that there Jonah was on a ship, a confined area, with a group of mariners. And those mariners were idolaters. They had their false gods that they worshiped. And they're on that ship, and there's an ample opportune time for Jonah to take these mariners aside and share with them the truth of God. Of course, Jonah is not in the time of Christ or after the cross. Jonah doesn't know the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He doesn't. You know, Jonah's not in a place where he's, you know, going to them quoting John 3:16. But he's at a place where he knows the true and living God. He knows Jehovah. He knows that his God is not made of wood and stone, as these mariners are bowing their knee to. But where is Jonah? Jonah, as he leaves the presence of the Lord as he goes his own way, Jonah is down in the belly of that ship asleep. Look in verse number 5 of Jonah. Jonah chapter number 1, verse number 5. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth their wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down to the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. You know, when you look at missions according to Jonah, what kind of, when you say you have as a church, you have a heart for missions, what kind of missions-hearted church are you if you have the same mentality as Jonah? That you say you care more for people that live in a distant land than the people that are right here with you. Jonah is on a confined ship with these people. They can go nowhere but overboard. And he doesn't take the time to share God with them. Do you know that I believe that if you as a church, if you don't care enough for the people that you live with day in and day out, you don't care enough for your family members, you don't care enough for your neighbors, you're not going to care for Chinese that live in communist China. You're not going to care for people that live in Cambodia. Maybe you feel that if you give money to missions, that that somehow will alleviate you from being able to witness to your family, friends, co-workers, and neighbors. But it doesn't, folks. It doesn't. Let me tell you what, you want this church to do what it needs to do for missions, you first do what you should do in this community. And when you do what you should do first in this community, you won't even be able to control, and you'll be amazed at what God will do to you, do through you to the foreign field. Jonah, as a missionary, was a failure from the very get-go. Because number one, he didn't go where God wanted him to go. Number two, even in the presence of lost people, people that didn't know God, he didn't have enough zeal for them to share God with them. Of course he wasn't going to have zeal to go to Nineveh and do what God wanted him to do with the Ninevites. You know, it just keeps getting worse as you go through Jonah's life here, through you go through this situation with Jonah. Not only is he asleep, not only is he not sharing, taking this time with those mariners, these lost mariners, to share the truth of God with them, it's sad when you get to the point to where the mariners have more concern for Jonah than he had for them. Look in chapter number 1, verses 12 and 13. And he said unto them, Jonah speaking there, and he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth. He's telling them, okay, you know, this storm that's here, the reason why you're suffering all this is because it's because of me. This is happening because of me. So he says, take me up, cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Man. You talk about some tough words fixing to come in verse number 13. I mean, this is pretty rough. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land. Here you got lost men who don't know God. They've just been bowing down to their idols. And you've got the man of God who's not doing what he's supposed to do saying, come on, take me, throw me overboard. If you'll do that, your lives will be saved. Everything will be okay. And these lost guys look at Jonah, and they ignore what he's saying. And they begin to row the ship. They begin to do everything they can to get to the shore. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land. But they could not, for the sea was wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. Even though they feared their own life, they did not want to take a man and throw him overboard. They didn't want to take Jonah, and their mind was, as rough as that sea is, if I throw him overboard, he's a dead guy. They didn't know that God had prepared a great fish, a great whale, to swallow Jonah. They had no idea about that. Jonah didn't have any idea about that. All they knew is they didn't want this man's blood on their hands. They had more concern for Jonah than Jonah had for the Ninevites, than Jonah had for these mariners. Let me tell you something, folks. It's a sad day when the lost have more compassion than we do. We're the ones that are supposed to have the compassion. We're the ones that are supposed to be out there getting the gospel to the lost, helping the needy. You know, whenever we had the earthquake in 2008 in China, in the city we lived in, of course, it was a magnitude 8.0. The epicenter was about 60 miles north of us. Our house, where we lived in Chengdu, China, it shook for over a year. We had aftershocks every day for about a year, and then they started calming down after about a year. It got so bad that we just felt like our house was shaking, even when it wasn't shaking. 400,000 people lost their lives in that earthquake in 28 seconds. Hello. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 28 seconds, 400,000 lives. There's places I used to go into those mountain villages in a place called Beichuan. There were peaks like this in the mountains. When that earthquake happened, they just did that. What used to be two mountains, what used to be a valley, was now one. And the village that was in that valley was just gone. Now, how would it have looked to the people if I'd have said, well, that's just judgment on you because of your heathenistic ways? What kind of missionary would I have been to them? Instead, we bought tents, we bought medicine. Day in and day out, we made the journey into those villages and out of those villages, day in and day out, for months and months and months. Raised money for tents, put up tents, did everything we could to try to help those people as best we could. As a result of that, God gave us the heart of the folks in many of the villages we worked in, and we were able to start 4 underground churches in those villages. We didn't try to go in and start the churches first. We went in and showed the people, hey, there's a God, and even though you're in this tragic situation, He loves you, and He cares for you. And you know, that's true for everybody that you know, whether they be lost or saved. It's our responsibility. We talk about missions. We talk about missions is showing love, mercy, and grace. That's what it's about. And Jonah lacked all of those. Jonah lacked every one of those attributes of missions. You know, Jonah tried to get religious in verse number 9. In verse number 9 of chapter number 1, and he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. I love it. You know, I read this verse, and it's almost like he's getting haughty, you know. I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, and the God of heaven, which hath made... You know, I imagine him talking, pastor, in this verse like Robert Shuler, you know, whenever he's in the crystal, what used to be, the before it went bankrupt, the Crystal Cathedral. You know, I could just imagine him. And I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. You know, here he is, getting all religious and pious. And in verse number 10, I love this in verse number 10. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? You know, look at the dichotomy here. Here you got a guy in verse number 9 that's saying, I fear God, I know God that created the heaven and the earth. Then why are you going the wrong way? Why are you not going to Nineveh? Why are you on your way to Tarshish if you fear, you know God, you fear God? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you doing what you're doing? See, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. He didn't have a heart for God. Because if he'd have had a heart for God, if Jonah had a heart for God, as Pastor said the other day, the heart of God is missions. And if he had had a heart for God, he'd had a heart for the Ninevites. He'd had a heart for those mariners that he was on that ship with. Just a bunch of religious talk. I know God, the creator that made the sea and the dry land. I know him. All that religious talk ended him up in the belly of a whale. That's where it ended him up. Nope. A piece of fish bait. There he is, cast overboard. He's in the belly of that whale. and stays in that belly of that whale for 3 days, 3 nights. I don't know about you, but I hate puke. I hate the smell of it. And if you've lived in a third world country, you smell a lot of puke. Now, I can do just about anything. I can change diapers. Changed a lot of diapers with all our kids and foster kids that we have in China. I've changed a lot of diapers. I've even helped, and Brother Darrell, he knows this better than I do, and Brother Joel knows it. I've had to help turn a calf before, where you have to go into a cow, reach your hand up in there, and find that calf. It's pretty gross. I can clean a deer, gut a fish, not a problem. But puke messes me up. Brother John was in the infantry, in the army. I was also, remember going through the CS chamber, Brother John? Remember that? You go through that thing, CS chamber, CS gas. You got your gas mask on, your protective, well, you couldn't call it gas mask. You had to call it protective mask. You have that thing on and, you know, and they make you crack it and then you breathe in that CS gas. And when you do, you know, snot and tears and, you know, everybody's walking around like this. I would rather wear CS cologne than have to smell puke. And as you get here into Jonah chapter number, you know, the end of Jonah chapter number 2, verse number 10, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now that verse, it may not affect you, but it affects me. Because to actually throw up and to actually be a piece of throw up is something that's in my deepest, darkest nightmares, okay? Now, we talk about blowing chunks, okay? You know, we have all kinds of idioms that we use in America. You know, Ralph, and, you know, people make fun of that. You know, what are you doing, Ralph? What are you driving? Buick, you know. Gonna blow chunks. But can you imagine being a chunk of puke? And that's where Jonah's digressed to. That's where he's a piece of puke. Fish puke. It's one thing to be human puke, to be fish puke. That's about as bad as dog vomit. And that's where he's at. That's where he's digressed to. That's where he's at in his life. He's fallen so far because of two little words. But Jonah. It's gotten him to the place where he's been separated from God. He's been in that belly of that whale for 3 days, 3 nights. And the end result is, he's a chunk of puke. He's vomited out there on the beachhead of Nineveh. In verse chapter number 3, and the word of the Lord, verse number 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it, the preaching that I bid you. Again, God says, go here. This is where I want you to go. This is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to say. He's got all of it, just like he needs it. He's got every bit of it. Got everything he needs. In the end, Jonah does go to the city of Nineveh. After spending 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of that well, after being a chunk of puke, he goes to Nineveh, stinking, smelling like vomit. He goes to fish vomit. He goes to Nineveh. He does cry unto the people, the message that God would have him to give. But in chapter number 4, when it's all over and done and said with, look at his heart. Chapter number 4, verse number 1. But we'll start, in verse number 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Verse number 3. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. You see, in the end, Jonah was never at a place where he was able to put his personal feelings against the Ninevites. For whatever reason Jonah had that he did not want to go to the Ninevites, for whatever reason that he had that he didn't want to go to Nineveh to preach to those people, he could not put those feelings, his emotions, he elevated those above the will of God for his life, how he felt. So much so that even after he spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of a well, puked out, ran there and preached the message that God wanted him to preach, in the end, he still had a hard heart towards the things of God. The heart of God, which was to what? Reach the people of Nineveh. His emotions, his personal feelings, that was what was most important to Jonah. Him, himself. Remember Wednesday night when I preached, I said that is the essence of what the devil wants for the body of Christ, for the church. He wants you to get so concerned about yourself and about what's going on with you that you lose your influence on this world. And that's exactly what happened to Jonah. Jonah was unprofitable. Now, that's what the book of Jonah chronicles about Jonah's life. That's what the book of Jonah has to say about what Jonah thinks about missions. And as you look at that book, many of us would look at Jonah and we'd say, what a loser. What a loser. How could this guy that heard God's direct voice, and how could this guy gave him the message, where he wanted, how could he ignore that and do that? What if this morning there was a book written about your life? What if there was a book entitled The Life of Steve Leafley? What if there was a book titled The Life of Bobby Munger? What would it say about us? What would that book say about us in regards to our heart regarding reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you know that I believe that maybe there is a book that God keeps on us? Do you know that as you read your Bible, there, of course, we got the King James Bible, there's 66 books in it. You see the word book or books, a variation of it, used about 180 times in the Bible. If you're in here this morning, you're saved, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, your name is written in a book, the Lamb's Book of Life. If you go over and you look in 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles and look in some of the Old Testament, you'll read about the life of those kings, how the Bible talks about how that everything they did was written in a book. What if this morning your life is being written in the form of a book in heaven? How would it read? How would it read first and foremost about salvation? You don't have a book really this morning if you haven't been saved. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I was saved at the age of 18 out of a building just like this one. You know, this building used to belong to the Catholic Church. That's what I was involved in, Catholicism. So much so that I even thought about becoming a priest. At the age of 18, someone shared the gospel with me and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. When I began to see, as Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What if chapter 2 had to do with your Bible knowledge? What you know about the Bible, how much you know about the Bible. Chapter 3, your ministry. Chapter 4, your spouse. Chapter number 5, parenting. Chapter number 6, finances. Chapter number 7, philosophy. Chapter number 8, doctrine. Chapter number 9, manner of life. And so on and so on and so on. What if there's a book written about your life, just like there's a book written about Jonah? And we look at Jonah and we say, puke boy, you failed. But what would our book say about us? How would our book read? I mean, no doubt some people's books, they're more like pamphlets, you know. Some folks' books, they're more like novels. And there's a variety of books. All kinds of books. But how would our book read this morning? You know, when I look at Jonah's life, and I look at the fact of how he treated missions, how he treated what God gave him directly to do. I look at my life and I examine my life and I say, in the book of Bobby Munger, I don't want it to be read, but Bobby Munger. I don't want there in the book of my life to be paths where you see where if I'd have went this way, that was God. Where I went this way, I went down God's path. Where I went this way, I went down my path. I don't want to see those in my book. I don't want to see it written in the pages of the annals of my book that I, at points in my life, decided to go down my own path, my own way. And that's what you're faced with when you start looking at missions like this church is today. You're faced with what's going to be written in your book on this day. Is it going to be that, but John, but Tom, but Rick? Or is it going to be, Rick, according to the Word of God, gave what God wanted him to give. Dave, according to God's will, did as God wanted him to do. How is it going to be written in your book? How is it going to be for all history? You know, I wonder, you know, as we stand, you know, there is this thing coming called the judgment seat of Christ. Sometimes we worry so much about government. Sometimes we worry so much about what's going on around us. We forget that that's all this stuff is really just, it's just distraction. The real event that we have coming is the judgment seat of Christ. If you're in here and you're saved, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. If you don't, you have the great white throne judgment coming. Us as Christians have the judgment seat of Christ. But the judgment seat of Christ, folks, it ain't going to be a party. And I can't help but wonder, you know, if my life is a book, maybe that's the reason why that thing's judged by fire. You know, books burn real easy in a fire. Here's the life of Bobby Munger. Jesus Christ holds that book in his hand. And as I'm there at that judgment seat of Christ, he throws that book in that fire. And the chaff is burned up. But what was done, the places where it doesn't read, but Bobby Munger, that's the stuff that lasts. That's the stuff that's gonna build those crowns that I one day get to cast at the feet of Jesus Christ. Do you know that I'm real happy this morning that in my Bible there's some places where God didn't do like Jonah? I'm glad that in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus is there at that garden and he's sweating those drops of blood, and as he looks up into heaven and as he's sweating blood and blood is pouring out of it, and he's looking up to heaven and he said, Father, if there be any way that this cup can pass away from me. And I'm glad at that moment that the Bible doesn't read, but God. I said, okay, son, yeah. I don't want you to take the sins of the world upon you. Come back on up here with me. I'm glad it didn't read that way. I'm glad that when Jesus Christ was on that cross at Calvary, and he's there at that cross, and he's about to be put on that cross, that it doesn't say, but God sent a legion of angels down there to defend Christ. I'm glad that Christ didn't do that. I'm glad Christ didn't change his mind. I'm glad Christ didn't change what today enables me to be a blood-bought child of God. I'm glad of that. I'm glad that the Bible doesn't read that when Jesus was in that tomb, instead of that tombstone being rolled away, that it reads, but there was no resurrection. Man, how miserable would we be today? How miserable would we be today if there was no death, burial, and resurrection? What would our hope be? What would life be for us? And what would life have been for the Ninevites if Jonah would not have gone to them and preached to them the message that God wanted to preach? What would life be like for the Chinese today if the Munger family, if the book of our life read, but Bobby and Julie Munger took a job working for so-and-so, what would it be? You know, folks, this thing of missions and what we're doing, it's serious. Souls hang in the balance of what you decide to do. It's not a joke, just like it wasn't a joke with Jonah and his life. As Pastor prepares to come up here and close out the service, I want you to think before you fill out those cards, before you think about what God wants you to do about missions, what is going to be written in the book of your life? What is going to be said about you that when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ and that book is thrown into that fire, is it going to be your will or the will of God that's written in those pages? Because I'm going to tell you something, folks, it's only the will of God that's exercised in your life that's going to survive that fire. That and only that. Pastor.